We are honored to have Judy Collins joining us. Singer, songwriter, musician, author, been in films, and just has tons of energy, is not stopping, working on a new album. You've done over 50 albums, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Now you're working on another one.
Yes, I am. We've been talking about this for many years, and finally we're doing it. It's Judy Collins and Stephen Stills, or as we refer to it, the Stills Collins Tour.
And then you'll be here at the Savon coming up on September 1st.
I think it's September 1st.
Yep. And then you're also at the Canyon Theater in Agoura Hills. You're doing your own shows, so you've got the Rose Theater.
I'll be at the Canyon Theater coming up pretty soon. On my own. And Pasadena, I have a show coming up there. So, yeah, I'm working.
You are working. And what is it like all these years later? You're sweet Judy Blue Eyes. You know, you are the song.
It's strange. It's 49 years ago this year that Stephen and I met in the studios of Elektra on La Cienega. He played on an album of mine called Who Knows Where the Time Goes. And we had this affair, and he wrote Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, of course. And then from then on, we've always been friends. And in the last 10 years, we've seen each other a lot of times socially, and I've gone to see his shows, and he's seen mine, maybe, I hope. And we've been talking about doing a tour and an album together. So finally, it's come together, and it's wonderful. It's been received. Most of these shows are sold out, so get yourself together with the internet and find out when the shows are and see if you can get tickets.
We can Google it nowadays and find Judy Collins and Stephen Stills.
Yes, and find out where we are singing. We can even Google it and find out where we're singing. It's so strange, really, to be coming back all these years and be working together, singing together. We always worked well together in the studio in that time, but we had one show at the Saban where we talked. We didn't do any music, but a couple of years ago, our agents thought that it would be a good idea for us to sit down and just tell the stories between us, not just our own story, but together, but also the things that have happened to us, and sort of compare notes as artists who have been around the block more than once and have survived any number of traumas and tours and experiences. And it's really marvelous to be able to do that and talk about it. And then now we'll be able to talk about it and sing together.
That's exciting. Those will be phenomenal shows.
They will be, I promise you. And I'm now doing real rock and roll.
Right. You know, we love everything you did before, too. You know, Both Sides Now, Sending the Clowns, Chelsea Morning. I mean, so many hits. And you've always been really open, too, you know, about your life. You're talking about touring can be hard, and you've been through traumas. You've been through some really, really difficult times. Out of those times, you've tried to help others, and you received a Beatrice Stern Media Award at the 21st anniversary of Erasing the Stigma Leadership Awards from D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Services. They are amazing. You know, they really help people.
They are amazing. It's a kind of strange coincidence, but when Stephen and I were together, when we had our romance out here in California, mostly here, after we met, I put together a songbook in 1969 reflecting the things that were on Wildflowers and in my life, and of course, Who Knows Where the Time Goes, my new writing, some of the songs I was already famous for by that time. And he said, why don't you write, along with the lyrics of the songs and of course the piano part so that people can sing them, why don't you write a story of your family? Because he knew my family. He didn't know my father. My father died in May, a month before I met Stephen, but he knew the story of the family, my father being blind from the age of four, having a radio career for 30 years, I'm sorry, and also being an extraordinary person. And the whole family history was something that he got to know because he got to know my family, and he got to know that we love to talk about that. So he said, why don't you write it? So I got a hotel room at the Beverly Hills. I got a room there, and he would record in the daytime, and he said, you stay here and write every day. So I did. In a way, he started my writing career in a funny kind of way. I wrote 7 chapters about my family. I was very naive, and I told the story, I think, with a kind of an accent on memory and romance and how romantic a lot of my life was at that point. Not talking about the stigma or the alcoholism or the difficulties. really. And so that kind of allowed me to begin writing memoir, which I've done now. This is my 10th book, actually. And a number of these books are about alcoholism. They're about a mental health. They're about the search for dealing with my own depression and my eating disorder, which I write about a lot in Cravings. And so it's been something that has added a kind of dynamic to my life, which I feel is an authentic way to share something that things that I hope will help other people.
Writing is a talent. You know, it's an art, too. So it's something that not everybody can do, but you do it and you express yourself so well. And, you know, when you're writing about yourself opening up, but it helps other people, too.
I think so. And I found that now, because I've written so many books, a number of books, one about suicide, Sanity and Grace, and the others, which touch about singing lessons, very much touches on the suicide of my son and also about my own life in specifics. And when I do signings, mostly, I don't sign records at concerts anymore because I can't. The audiences are too big, the lines are too long, and I've got to get home to the hotel and sleep for 3 hours and get on a plane the next day. Usually,
it's a whole three hours.
But when I'm doing a signing where I have a cocktail hour, so to speak, where I drink Perrier, and then a dinner, and then my speech, and then I would sign books, and that's where I get to interchange with people. I sign books, I talk to people for a few minutes. We talk about our stories. I hear people tell me stories about their lives. And, you know, that's a real interchange. That's so authentic. It's more than a signature. And it's certainly more than an email or a text or a Facebook post. It's very personal. And I get more out of it than the people who are there, I promise you. And it's so important for my own mental health and my own process.
And they open up to you and you take away from what they open up about, you know.
Absolutely. I learn much more than I might might teach.
Right.
I know very little, but I only know what my story is and I can tell it. But then hearing other people's stories is remarkable.
It's incredible when people start to talk.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things about mental health. Do you think we're doing better now about people opening up and talking about what's going on? There's still stigma attached, but do you think we're doing better now?
We have a huge job in front of us, which is educating and motivating the insurance companies to pay for mental health issues, for treatment, for therapy. They're happy to pay for drugs, but drugs are not really the answer. In the long run, the answers lie in intercommunication, in therapy, in talk therapy, in people speaking out in the ways that they have, which then remove the stigma. Because if you're talking about this and I'm talking about this, then some girl in Cleveland who's suffering depression and who might take pills, as I did when I was 14 to try to kill myself, then they may feel that they have some option to talk about this with people. That's what's really critical. And getting the insurance companies to cooperate and pay for things that are not in little tablets and not in little bottles is really the big, big job. And that's where we already have a mental health bill that's been passed in Congress and the Senate. Markey and Kennedy and so many real heroes of mental health in the Congress have been instrumental in that. And they've opened it up. And even our Surgeon General under Clinton, who said, we have to form suicide prevention groups in every city in this country. And you know what? That's happened. Since my son's death in 92, a lot of progress has been made. I came out here to meet one of the great heroes of the suicide prevention movement named Ed Schneidman, and he was a professor of thanatology at UCLA. You know, thanatology is the study of death. And he was a man who didn't know a thing about alcoholism. He and I came from very opposite poles, but we bonded so closely. When I met him, and he's gone now, he was elderly when I met him and retired, he had a theory, and I was devoted to him. I even wrote the foreword to one of his last books for the Oxford Press. He was devoted to the idea that, he said, anybody can recover from the desire to kill themselves if they have enough talk therapy. What we need to do is talk, to speak it out, to talk it out, to find people who are understanding and who can help us. And I know that for me, that probably happened when I got into therapy at 24, because I had the suicide attempt behind me. I was an alcoholic. I was working on the alcoholism. I was working on the food addiction. But the thing I learned with my therapy was I needed to talk about this. Also, I have to say that if you need medication, you must find a way to get it and take it. Because even if it's short term, it may help you over the hump. It may help you through the crisis. So although I'm sort of ferocious about long-term medication, except in cases where there is a schizophrenia diagnosis, where there's a bipolar diagnosis, where there is something which can be specifically looked at and diagnosed. But for most of us, for many, you know, Ed used to say, many people are depressed, but most people don't kill themselves.
Right.
You can live with a depression. You cannot sometimes live with a suicidal depression. So it's important to know, first of all, that the long term is about having a life in which you have an integrated physical, mental, social, spiritual life, where you are balanced, where you eat well, where you learn to exercise, which takes care of a lot of mental health problems.
Right.
Endorphins can do a lot for depression. I know, because I've used it for 50 years to get over my depressions, and I still exercise every day. Andrew Weil, who wrote an introduction to my current new book, Cravings, How I Conquered the Food, Andrew Weil, who also wrote a wonderful blurb for me about this book, says, if you want to get over depression, one good way is to exercise every day, half an hour, and eat a lot of broccoli. Boring, but effective.
Yeah, the less fun part of it. But hey, if it works, you look phenomenal. You look so good because you work out. You work out. You look great.
Thank you. I think that's a secret to life.
Cravings. Do you have, I wanted to ask if you have a book signing coming up.
I don't have a book signing coming up in LA yet, but I will.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that I do.
And you've got the album that you're working on, and we'll see you in concert with Stephen Stills.
Yes.
And then you have so much knowledge, and you've really helped through all of the books that you've written and just being open. So congratulations on the Beatrice Stern Media Award.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And any last thoughts for us about your new album?
The new album, you'll be able to get it probably soon. We're in the midst of writing it and recording it. And so it'll be soon out, and we'll be touring. Mr. Stills and I will be touring starting at the end of July this year.
Do you have a name for the new album yet?
Stills and Collins. I don't know. Maybe we'll call it, I don't know.
Collins and Stills?
Well, maybe flip it on the back and call it Collins and Stills on the back.
That works.
Why not?
Sure. And thank you for everything that you've done and for being an amazing person.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the radio on 100.3, The Sound.
Thank you.
Thank
Judy
you.
Collins.